We bring these little water bottles, our little water, sachet water packets. What do you call these? What do you call this?
Sachet water.
Sachet water. We have these every Sunday here at the church.
And I
want to read to you what it says on the sachet water packets. It says, the perfect drink to quench your thirst. It says, produced under strict hygienic conditions. That tells us that this water is supposed to be very pure and very clean. We have 6 sachets of water in here right now. Let me ask you a question. If I told you one of these sachet waters has a very small hole, one you cannot even see in it, and it has a very small hole because someone took a very small needle, and they put poison inside of that sachet water. Would anyone take a chance and drink one of these sachet waters? Would you do it? Mr. Biney, would you do it? No, why not? It's just a very small hole. Just one of these has it. The chances of you getting the poison are very small. But because one has the poison, it spoils the whole thing. Now, please understand, these are all pure. There is no poison in here. Some of you even drank some water tonight or this morning, so you are nervous right now. You say, Pastor Joel, why did you give us that illustration? It's because there is a truth that we learn in this small illustration. Just a small bit of poison can ruin the whole bucket. That little bit of poison keeps all of us from drinking the water. And you see, the Bible tells us in James chapter 3 that the tongue is just like that. In James chapter 3 it says, though the tongue is a small member, it is very destructive. In verse 8 it says, it is full of deadly poison. So today we will talk a little bit about the tongue. From this passage of scripture, we will see that James calls believers to resist using their tongue in a way that is inconsistent with their new nature in Christ.
James
each morning that we have looked in the book of James, we have seen that James has contrasted two ways of life. The way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. And there is a contrast. This contrast is there because conversion produces righteous living. So we will look at one of those areas that we will see the difference, the tongue. We will see in this passage that God wants us to resist using our tongue. In a way that is inconsistent with our new nature in Christ. So why would James need to instruct believers on this issue? Why would James need to tell Brother Stephen not to use his tongue in a way that is wrong? Brother Stephen's a nice guy. Why would he have to tell Sister Christina not to use her tongue in a wrong way? Christina teaches the children. Of course, she's a good person, right? You see, the Bible tells us that we are sinners by nature. And because we are all sinners by nature, our tongues prove that. We will look at several truths about the tongue here from James, but before we do, let's look at what the Bible says about the tongue and the heart. What is the most wicked and deceitful thing in this universe around us? We've been talking about fallen angels. We know they are very evil. We'll be talking about Satan in the next few weeks in our Bible study. Who or what is the most deceitful and wicked thing in this universe? The answer may surprise you. It is not Satan. It is not demons. Let me read to you what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It says, the heart. Can we say that together? The heart.
The heart.
Let's say it together. The heart.
The heart.
The heart is deceitful. Listen to this. Above all things. That means if we could take Satan and put him up here in front of you and you could see him with your eyes. If we could line up a bunch of demons here and you could see them with your eyes. And then we took your heart, not what beats in you. That's not the heart we're talking about. But the part of each one of us that thinks, that makes decisions, that has desires to do things. If we could line all of them up, and we asked God, tell us, out of all these things, what is the most evil? What would God point to? He would point to Pastor Eric's heart. And Johnny's heart. And my wife's heart. And my heart. And Stephen's heart. And Brian's heart. Mindy's heart. In fact, even that little baby's heart. It's true. And he would say, that is deceitful above all things. That is desperately wicked. And I'm pretty confident that most people would not believe that what I just said is true. But I'm telling you, I read straight from the Bible what God says. Our heart is very wicked. Our heart is not good. In fact, on Facebook, a man posted something about the human heart. In fact, if you are my friend on Facebook, you can even see the comment that I made about this. And this man said something like, you need to peel the layers off so you can see what is in your heart and see the goodness that is there. And he said, so let it be done. And I wrote, Jeremiah 17:9, so let it be done. Our heart is not pretty. In Matthew 15, the Bible says, those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart. He says, these are the things that defile a man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication. Thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. Did you know that if you watch small boys and girls at school, you see a heart that is that is evil at work? I was out fishing by the river one day, some time ago, and these boys were watching me. And the boys were all teasing this other boy. With their tongue, they were making fun of him. Calling him names. Why were they doing that? It's because their hearts are evil. You say, but they are just small children. It's true, even a child is known by what he does. The Bible teaches our hearts are evil. In Luke chapter 6, it says that an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh.
Now,
So here's the question, why do we say the things that we say? Why is it that when we get angry, we curse people? Why is it that when we are angry, we take God's name and use it without any reverence and respect? Why is it that we lie? Why is it that we talk about people when they are not around? Why is it that we mock? Why do we do these things? Why do some people blaspheme God's name? It's because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You lie because you are a liar. The reason that we speak blasphemy against God is because we do not respect Him. The reason that we use God's name without honor and respect is because we don't fear God. The reason that we do these things is because our hearts are evil. Romans 3 says that there is none righteous, no not one. It says that a man's mouth or his throat is an open tomb. God says that man with his tongue practices deceit. The poison of an asp. An asp is a deadly snake. The poison of asps is under their lips. Man's mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Folks, that's all of us. We don't want to walk through the bush without looking at the ground because we don't want to step on a snake. We fear its bite. We fear the poison that could kill us. Yet God says that same kind of poison is what comes out of our tongue all the time. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so, because of this, we need God to talk to us about the way we use our tongue. In fact, even in Galatians 5, it talks about the truth that believers have two natures, one that drives him to do right, and one, his old nature is still at work. Galatians 5, he says, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. You see, even the believer has a battle that goes on in his heart. And this is why James teaches his brethren about the use of the tongue. So let's look very quickly at some of the points he makes about the tongue. Let's read verse 6 together. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is your tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. In this passage, the Bible teaches us the tongue transfers defilement. When I was reading that little water sachet water packet, it said it was produced in a hygienic environment. You see, we understand that germs can be passed between objects and get us very sick. We ran across some time ago, and my wife had a dentist work on her teeth. And the dentist, he was working very, very fast, and he dropped something on the floor. One of his tools, it fell on the floor. And do you know what he did with the tool that he dropped on the floor? My wife is nervous about this right now. He picked it up. And he threw it in a trash can. And he went into a drawer and he pulled out the same instruments. It was in a package. He opened the package and then he used the instrument in my wife's mouth. Why did he do that? He wasted a good tool. It's because the floor is dirty. And you don't take something off the floor that is dirty and put it in someone's mouth. Well, you shouldn't. It's not very clean. And you see, we understand, at least doctors understand, that you don't drop things on the floor and then put it in someone's mouth. If you're going to work on someone, you don't work with dirty hands, you wash your hands. And the Bible teaches our tongue transfers defilement. It says in verse 6, it defiles the whole body, the whole person. It says in verse 6 that it's like a fire, it setteth on fire the course of nature. What he means by that is that the tongue can defile every aspect of our lives. You see, we need to be careful about how we use our tongue because it transfers defilement. Look in verses 7 and 8. We will see a second thing. He says, every kind of beast, of birds, of serpents, of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. So if you go and you see horses, the horse has been tamed. We do not have elephants in this part of Ghana, but even an elephant can be tamed. In some parts of the world, they use elephants to carry huge loads of weight. And a small man can control a big elephant. Some people can even charm the serpent. They will play music and the cobra will stand up. But the cobra will not strike. Some parts of the world, they train large sea creatures. They have this large fish called a whale. In fact, one is called the killer whale. It is black and white on this animal. Very large, it has many teeth. But some people have learned even how to tame this large animal. In fact, I have seen them take this animal that is in a very large tank, even bigger than this whole building right here. And they have trained this large whale to jump out of the water through huge hoops. It's an amazing thing to watch. People even pay money to watch these kinds of things happen. Because it amazes us. But the Bible says that the human tongue is not like the snake. It's not like the horse. It's not like the elephant. The tongue no man can tame. This means you cannot stop the effects of the human tongue. Pastor Eric and I have gone fishing in a river by the sea and seen something very interesting. When we get lots and lots of rain, the water in the river gets very, very brown. But something very interesting happens when the tide and the sea start to come in. As the water begins to come in from the sea, the water begins to turn clear. It's very, very interesting to watch. You say, how can this happen? It is something that we can't even stop. It just happens. The river is flowing out into the sea and then it starts flowing backwards. If you went and stood in the river and you took a big piece of wood like Stephen would use, and you put it in the water and you stood and you pushed against it, could you stop the river? Could Nana stop the river? Could Brian stop the river? Could Chelsea stop the river? No! The river would push Brian over. The water would come rushing by. It would take Brian with it. It is too strong. And so we see the tongue is like that. We cannot stop its effects. If a person in this church wanted to destroy the church, they could do it with their tongue. It would be very hard to stop. In fact, its effects cannot be stopped. But there is a third truth that we see. The tongue is like a sponge that, when squeezed, pushes out what is inside of it. This chair right here has a nice cushion in it. The cushion is soft so that when you are sitting on the chair, it does not hurt your back. And if you took that cushion and put it in the water, what would happen? It would become full of water. If we set it on a table, the water would even stay inside of the cushion. But if someone came and picked it up and squeezed it, what would happen? All that water would come out. You see, when we begin to put pressure on the cushion, it begins to squeeze out what is inside of it. Our heart is like that. What is inside of our heart comes out when we are under pressure. When we are working on the land, and it is hot, and we are tired, and something happens that is very frustrating, and Pastor Eric is very upset, we will see what is in his heart. Because he might say some things that are not so nice. If someone is working with a hammer and nails and they miss the nail and hit their hand, we may see what is in Brother Stephen's heart. When someone comes to Mr. Biney and he treats him very, very hard, it is like Mr. Biney's heart is being squeezed. What is in the heart will come out. This is what the Bible teaches. The Bible says in verse 10 that hypocrisy comes out of the heart through the tongue. In verse 9, it says that blasphemy against God comes out through the tongue. In verse 8, it says the heart is full of deadly poison. That comes out of the tongue when the heart is squeezed. Listen carefully to what he says in verse 9. Therewith, or with the tongue, we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which were made in the similitude of God, or in the image of God. Out of the same mouth produceth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? His point is that in the heart of man, when it is squeezed, it comes out by what we say. So he warns these believers. Notice he says, these things, my brethren, ought not to be so. The point is that a believer can use his tongue in a way that is wrong. It is possible for him to use his tongue wrong. But it goes against the new nature that is in the believer. And it should never happen. But there is a fourth truth that we see. It is found in verse 12. Let us look at verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Let me put it in a very simple way. Okay, if Joyce goes and plants an orange seed into the ground, something will grow. Joyce, what is going to grow? What kind of tree will grow if you plant an orange seed?
Orange tree.
Even one of the children understands. If you plant an orange seed, the orange tree will grow. And then at the time of the year that the orange trees produce oranges, something will be on the tree. Joyce, will there be apples on the orange tree? Are you sure? I'm not going to trick you. She is correct. If we plant an orange seed in the ground, by all means, we will have an orange tree. And that orange tree will not make apples. It will not make grapes. It will not make bananas. It will not make pineapples. It will not make coconuts. It will only make oranges. This is what orange trees do. You see, we know what kind of tree we have because of the fruit that is in the tree. And we see something here in this passage. The tongue reveals what is in the heart. Says in Luke 6, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we have seen today some truth about the tongue. We have seen why God warns us about the use of our tongue. But I have a serious question for you to think about. At the very beginning of our message, I read to you Jeremiah 17:9. Nana's heart, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Levi's heart, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Eric's heart, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. How in the world can someone with an evil heart ever speak the truth and ever do what is right with his tongue? How?
Obviously,
That is a serious question. And let me answer it with one truth here. You can't until you become a believer. Until you are converted by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, it's impossible for you to use your tongue the way God wants you to use it. That does not mean that unconverted people are not kind with their tongue sometimes. That doesn't mean every time an unconverted person uses their tongue, it's a lie. But let me read to you what God says in Romans chapter 8. Before a man is converted, the Bible calls him carnal. Or the natural man. And this is what the Bible says in Romans 8:7. The carnal mind is at enmity against God, or at war with God. For it is not subject to the law of God. But there's more to it than that. It says, nor indeed can it be. And then it says this, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There are lots of people trying to earn their way to God. They believe they can discipline their tongue. They believe they can stop their sin. They believe if they do enough good things, eventually God will be pleased with them. But the Bible says here, they cannot please God. If you look at that entire chapter, you will see that what he is talking about is a man before he is converted. So the question is, how can a man please God? The reality is, he must be born again. He must receive a new nature, so that God can begin working in his heart and his life to give him victory over these things. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And that new creature has the ability, because of God's work in his life, to begin to have victory over these things. Let me ask you today, are you a child of God? Have you ever come to understand that gospel message and responded to it as the Bible calls us to respond? Have you placed your faith in the work of Christ alone, so that he would make you that new creature? A new life that was not there before your conversion. Is he at work in your life, maturing you to make you more like Christ? This message was not a gospel message, but I do think we need to ask ourselves the question, are we converted? If the answer is yes, then my question for you is what James says in verse number 9. Or in verse 10, he says, "My brethren, these things ought not to be." In this passage, clearly, God wants us to resist using our tongue in a way that is inconsistent with our new nature. May God give us the grace through the Holy Spirit's work to begin to have victory over this area if we are believers. Okay, let us pray and then we will have